There is a psychological or a business principle. Maybe somebody here could tell me the name of it. But basically it says that the default human tendency is when things are going well in our life to view that as the result of our own efforts, that we are doing well in our character, in our work, and so that is bearing fruit. And that when things are going badly, we view that as bad luck or something beyond our control or even somebody else's fault. But successful people develop the opposite mentality to say when things are going well, it's just that whatever could go wrong hasn't. And when things go wrong, that's a call for me to change something or to improve something or change something within myself to change my situation. Well, this is a spiritual principle as well, that Saint Augustine says that any good we do comes from God, is God doing good in us. And so we cannot claim credit for that. And that any evil we do, God does not cause us to sin. So our sins are the only thing that we can truly claim as fully our own. Now, you may recall last Sunday's gospel, the passage immediately before this, when Jesus says that when you have done all things well, you have worked all day, you are unprofitable servants, just doing what you are commanded to do. So, again, God is doing that good in us as the source of all good. And so we cannot claim credit for the good that we do. And if we do evil, then again, that is our own responsibility. If we suffer evil, that is the result of sin. Sometimes it is evident that we suffer for our own sin or the sins of another, and sometimes it's not evident why we suffer a particular evil. But it's always the result of sin. Sin produces suffering and evil. And of course, there will be those evils, that suffering that is beyond our control, as the lepers of today's gospel, that was it their sin that they were suffering for, this from this terrible disease? Well, yes, that like all sinners, they had offended the infinite God, from whom they had received life and existence itself, and so deserved to suffer the consequences of sin. But no, on the other hand, comparatively speaking, we cannot say that they probably did not deserve to suffer more than anyone else of their time. That in God's justly ordered world that he has created, they did not deserve to suffer under God's governance and the way that he governs the world. So as Jesus says of the man born blind, it was not he nor his parents who sinned. So the lepers, you might imagine, had been through a lot, both physically in the pain of their illness, eating away at their limbs, their face, and also the social suffering of being cast out of society, of not having that social interaction and having the prospect of death always before them. So they've been through months, perhaps years of this suffering, and here comes the prophet of their day, the great wonder worker, the great healer, that God is working through him. And so I would imagine that they said, well, we do not deserve this suffering. And we call out to this prophet, he heals us. That is a recognition that we did not deserve the suffering and that somehow we did deserve to be made well. I deserve this. That is a tendency that, once again, is fundamental to our human nature, our human sense of justice. But love goes beyond that sense of fairness or justice. Love is always a gift. That all things good, all good things come from God as a sign of his fatherly love for us. So we cannot earn or deserve anything from God, other than, once again, the consequences of our sin. But moreover, when we are given to suffer something that we do not deserve, that is a gift, and that is the deeper, more difficult mystery that Jesus calls us to enter into. It is a sharing in his suffering. And from our second reading, St. Paul was a great sinner, as we know. He persecuted the church. It was at his direction that Stephen was stoned to death. But he was not punished. He did not suffer the stonings, the beatings, the scourgings, the imprisonment when he was a great sinner. He suffered all of that after his conversion. He suffered for being too good, for having people follow him, for doing wonderful things in their lives and bringing them to life and truth, as Jesus did. And so it was a sharing in Jesus' suffering that he says today, I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. It is a salvific suffering that Paul shares in. As he says elsewhere, I fill up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ, sharing in his death, so that I may share in his resurrection. We know on a human level, those of you who are married, that it would be problematic to start thinking that you deserve something or that you've earned something from your spouse. That, again, love is a gift. It can't be bought and it can't be sold, as Chris Stapleton says. But our gospel today very simply asks us to say thank you. Thank you for the gifts of God, which are signs of his love. For myself, I try to say thank you in my own vocation to Jesus every day. Thank you, Jesus, for another day as your priest. Thank you, Mary, for being so good to me, as she always is. It's a very simple, short phrase, and yet Jesus takes great delight in that. And yet sometimes I forget. And then priesthood risks becoming not a gift, but a career, a task, again, an exchange of some sort. And so for those who are married, your spouse, your children should hear you say, I love you every day. Those children, you should say that to your parents every day. This is true vocationally, and it's true in our relationship with God. Develop this attitude of thanksgiving. Our Mass is meant to express this. Eucharist, meaning thanksgiving. And our Mass is a true sacrifice at which we offer our whole selves, all that we have received, back to God at the altar. That is caught up in this sacrifice. The gospel today has certain parallels with the Mass. The lepers call out, Epistata eleison. So that Jesus, Master, have mercy, have pity, eleison, as we say at the beginning of the Mass. But only one of the 10 returns when Jesus shows that mercy, Eucharistone, giving thanks. Well, Jesus humbles himself at every Mass to give thanks for us. That if the Eucharist is thanksgiving, it is first of all Christ's thanksgiving. As at the Last Supper, he says, Father, thank you for those that you have given me. And he says, and it says in the prayers of the Mass, Jesus gave thanks, blessed the bread, and broke it. So he gives thanks, first of all, for us, that we have been given to him, although we have received everything, even our very lives, from him. Ought not we then return thanks that we have been given, that we have been chosen by Jesus, that he desires to be our friend, our Savior, not merely our Master. So do we receive his gifts as something freely given, or do we take them as something earned or deserved? If we receive them as something freely given, then let us give thanks in response.